the focus of Christ's Sermon on the Mount, makes it clear that the Lord was not prohibiting judgment, but promoting discernment. If this greatest sermon by our Lord teaches us anything, it teaches that His followers are to be discerning and perceptive in what they believe and in what they do, that they must make every effort to judge between truth and falsehood, between the internal and external, between reality and sham.
Welcome to Your Place of Grace with Evangelist Anthony Sluzes. We're taking the message of salvation, Holy Spirit renewal, and healing through the finished work of Christ to the world by every available means. If you'd like more information about Your Place of Grace Ministries and our resources, visit yourplaceofgrace.com.
Hello, everyone. This is Anthony Sluzes, and I'm so thankful that you're listening to Your Place of Grace. Today, we're going to talk about the subject, did Jesus always forbid us from making judgments? We've heard this statement many times over the years. Love, don't judge. For many people in the church, that simple slogan has become like the knee-jerk defense in the face of criticism and confrontation. At some point, believers decided that careful discernment and agape love are diametrically opposed, that judgment is always a threat to our unity in Christ. And with no regard for the quality or content of the exhortation, too many Christians speedily deploy Matthew 7, verse 1 as an all-purpose, get-out-of-jail-free card. Do not judge so that you will not be judged. This verse has been routinely misapplied as a shield against confrontation and conflict in the church. This passage has erroneously been used to suggest that believers should never evaluate or criticize anyone for anything. And loved ones, our day and age hates absolutes, especially theological and moral absolutes, and such simplistic interpretation provides a convenient escape from confrontation. Members of modern society, including many professing Christians, tend to resist like dogmatism and strong convictions about what's right and wrong. Many people prefer to speak of all-inclusive love, compromise, ecumenism, and unity. To the modern religious person, those are only doctrines worth defending, and they are the doctrines to which every conflicting doctrine must be sacrificed. Now, in the intervening decades, the church's appetite for criticism, conflict, and confrontation has only further diminished. And in that same time, the misunderstanding and misapplication of this verse and others like it, Luke 6:37, John 3:17. This has taken root in the church, skewing its perspective on discipline and judgment and insulating its people from rebuke and exhortation. In fact, many in the church today believe as if confrontation and discerning judgment are forbidden. Any confrontation, whether it's a question of personal holiness or some doctrinal disagreement, is seen as prideful overstepping and an attack on the unity of God's people. In many circles, including some evangelical circles, those who hold to strong convictions and who speak up and confront society and the church are branded as violators of this command not to judge and are seen as troublemakers or, at best, as controversial. But Matthew 7, verse 1 has nothing to do with avoiding conflict in favor of unity or ignoring doctrinal or moral error in the name of love. As with many of the abused verses we'll examine, a simple look at the context makes the original intent of Christ's words abundantly clear. The seventh chapter of Matthew's Gospel represents the end of Christ's Sermon on the Mount, his most extensive teaching on living as a citizen in the kingdom of God. Now, woven throughout that sermon is an expose of the hypocrisy by the religious leaders of Jesus' day. Our Lord upends the system of works righteousness they had inflicted on God-fearing people throughout Israel. Throughout and during Christ's life and ministry, the Jewish faith had been reduced to a heavy-handed list of do's and don'ts. The religious elite had obliterated God's original intent in giving his law to his people, replacing it with a burdensome system of works. Works righteousness, let's call it. And they held the entire nation to their corrupt, man-made standard. The focus of Christ's Sermon on the Mount makes it clear that the Lord was not prohibiting judgment, but promoting discernment. If this greatest sermon by our Lord teaches us anything, it teaches that his followers are to be discerning and perceptive in what they believe and in what they do, that they must make every effort to judge between truth and falsehood, between the internal and external, between reality and sham, between true righteousness and false righteousness. In short, between God's way and all other ways. So with that in mind, the prohibition against judgment takes on completely different nuance, doesn't it? Christ was condemning a very specific kind of self-righteous judgment, the kind we see on display in his parable about the Pharisee and the tax collector. And he also told this parable to some people who trusted in themselves that they were righteous and viewed others with contempt. Two men went up to the temple to pray, one a Pharisee and the other a tax collector. The Pharisee stood and was praying this to himself, "God, I thank you that I am not like other people, swindlers, unjust, adulterers, or even like this tax collector. I fast twice a week. I pay tithes of all that I get." But the tax collector, standing some distance away, was even unwilling to lift up his eyes to heaven, but was beating his breast, saying, "God, be merciful to me, a sinner." I tell you, this man went to his house justified rather than the other. For everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, but he who humbles himself will be exalted. That's Luke 18, verses 9 through 14. Like many professing believers today, the Pharisees put on a really good show of public holiness, and they loved looking down on anyone who didn't. As John explains, Jesus here is talking about the self-righteous, egotistical judgment and unmerciful condemnation of others practiced by the scribes and the Pharisees. Their primary concern was not to help others from sin to holiness. Their primary concern was to condemn people to eternal judgment. because of actions and attitudes that did not square with their own worldly, self-made traditions. Jesus' words in Matthew 7, verse 1, were a reminder to the religious elite that they were not the final judges, that they too would stand before God, and that they would not want to be held to their own rigorous, self-righteous standard. Believers today need to heed that warning as well, and avoid the same kind of hypocritical hubris regarding our own holiness and how it corresponds to other believers. We also need to consider how to biblically discern, confront, and rebuke when necessary. Fortunately for us, Christ addressed that very issue in his subsequent statements. Jesus said, "Why do you look at the speck that is in your brother's eye, but do not notice the log that is in your own eye? Or how can you say to your brother, 'Let me take that speck out of your eye,' and behold, the log is in your own eye? You hypocrite. First take the log out of your own eye, and then you will see clearly to take the speck out of your brother's eye." That's Matthew 7, verses 3 through 5. Hear me now, dear ones. Confrontation and criticism are not forbidden in the church, but they must be undergirded with humility and purity. We need to humbly submit to the Lord, shining the light of His Word into the dark corners of our own hearts. All right? Instead of arrogantly pointing in someone else's face. It's only when we've dealt faithfully and biblically with our own sin that we can help another brother to see his own. And as John explains, even in the midst of confrontation, we need to maintain a spirit of humility. All confrontation of sin in others must be done out of meekness, not pride. We cannot play the role of judge, passing sentence as if we were God. We cannot play the role of superior, as if we were exempt from the same standards that we demand of others. We must not play the hypocrite, blaming others while we excuse ourselves. You know, we do a great disservice to the body of Christ when we confront and judge one another in arrogance and self-righteousness. But we also do damage to the church if we fail to exercise godly judgment and discernment when it is warranted. There is also danger, however, even for the truly humble and repentant believer. The first danger is of concluding that we have no right to oppose wrong doctrine or wrong practices in the church, lest we fall into judgmental self-righteousness. What we will then not be willing to confront a sinning brother, as the Lord clearly calls us to do. And the second danger is closely related to the first. If we are afraid to confront falsehood and sin in the church, we will be inclined to become undiscriminating and undiscerning. The church and our own lives will become more and more in danger of corruption. Realizing the impact of sin in the assembly, the Apostle Peter made a powerful call for a confrontive, critical church when he said, "For it is time for judgment to begin with the household of God." That's from 1 Peter 4, verse 17. Believers, born-again believers, must be discerning and make proper judgment when it is required. Discernment does not have to lead to division, dear ones. If we faithfully follow the pattern that Jesus gave us, we will be able to confront one another out of love and humility, not arrogance and self-righteousness. And we will be able to humbly accept the input of others without rushing to defensive arguments and judgmental retaliation. Oh, Father God, forgive us. Forgive us for misusing the Word of God. There are so many verses throughout the Old and New Testaments alike that we have misused and misunderstood over the decades, over the centuries. We hear even atheists spouting the verse, "Judge not and you will not be judged." That verse has been so misused. And yet, if we would take it in its proper context, in the full counsel of God, in context of what Jesus taught us, we are to confront. We are first to confront the sin in our own lives, and then we'll be able to rightly confront our brothers and sisters in the Lord, lovingly, with humility. Father, forgive us for misusing Scripture and misusing it in order to be cowardly, dare I say, and not stand up for what's right in a world gone mad. Forgive us of our sins, Father, and help us, empower us by your Spirit to be more like Jesus each and every day of our lives, to walk in love, humility, and yes, to correct one another if need be, and to receive correction humbly. Thank you, Father, in Jesus' name, amen and amen. Thank you for listening today, dear ones. It's so wonderful to know that people are listening to this podcast and that people are being blessed by it. And if you're listening today, and if you're a pastor, I would ask you, please, Pastor, to prayerfully consider inviting me to come and to speak at your church. I promise you, I will lift up the cross of Jesus Christ. We preach the cross. And we also honor the pastor before his or her congregation as well. I will become a friend of yours. I will become a prayer partner to you and to your family. And our ministry will be a blessing not only to you, but to your congregation and your community. Go to our website, Pastor, and please look at our testimonials page, at the testimonials of other pastors who have invited us to come and minister in their churches all across America. Jesus is proclaimed. The Holy Spirit is moving. And many, many people are making decisions for Christ and are being set free from bondages, being healed in bodies. People are also being delivered from addictions and bondages. I'm bragging on my Jesus, not on me. Thank you for listening, everybody. We have a book that's out right now, our latest book. It's called The Forgiving Heart. Please grab several copies for yourself and pass them around to friends and coworkers, family. I'm telling you, The Forgiving Heart will be a blessing to you. You can find it at Amazon.com or at my website, yourplaceofgrace.com. The Forgiving Heart by Anthony Sluzes is in paperback and in Kindle formats. So until we meet again, may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you. May the Lord be gracious unto you and always have a smiling countenance toward you. And may he give you peace, protection, prosperity, joy unspeakable and full of glory, laughter and unconditional love within your marriage, family, and home. And may he grant you great favor everywhere you step foot, all the days of your long, long life. In Jesus' wonderful name, amen and amen.
Thank you so much for listening to Your Place of Grace with Anthony Sluzes. We trust the podcast was a blessing to you. If you'd like more information about our ministry, resources, testimonials, and to schedule Anthony to speak at your event, go to yourplaceofgrace.com.